This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm Tanya J. Powers. Today I'm spending a few moments with country superstar Sarah Evans. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It has been a minute since we got to talk because I think the last time we chatted was back in 2014.
Really?
Yeah, I think a lot's happened since then.
Yes, a lot has happened.
A lot has happened since then. I know you are very busy. You had a new album out, what, last year?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to you about a couple of the songs on there. But I know you're about to embark on some Christmas shows. And even though it really doesn't feel like football weather yet,
right.
we're already talking about Christmas because we've got to plan ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is weird. Like, I recorded and released a Christmas album, I think 3 years ago or something like that, and it's called At Christmas, and we had to go in the studio and do that album in August, and so it was like super hot, and I did my vocals down in Birmingham, and I was like, this is so crazy. But yeah, you have to plan ahead, and we've had this Christmas tour, you know, booked for a long time. I think it's our fourth year maybe to do the Christmas tour.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely love it. I so look forward to it every year. And this year we're starting a little earlier. So we'll be starting like right after Thanksgiving.
Talk to me a little bit about, okay, first of all, I have to ask, and I've always wanted to know this, when you cut Christmas albums, like you said, it has to be earlier mm-hmm. in the year, usually when it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get in the mood for Christmas when it's 90 outside with a heat index of 1100?
Well, I think for me, it's not even really so much about getting in the mood for Christmas as just singing, like performing the song great.
Because
mm-hmm. a song is a song. And so I just wanted to do the coolest and most beautiful version of, you know, my favorite group of Christmas songs mm-hmm. that I could possibly do. All Holy Night being my absolute all-time favorite Christmas song. So that was really cool. And that was one where I said, let me just take it from top to bottom. You know, a lot of times I'll sing verses and then we'll sing choruses and, you know, kind of choose the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, let me run it just top to bottom so I can just, you know, maybe get one take, as an emotional take. And when I was done, I looked out in the control room and my producer and the engineer were both crying. And they're like, wow. You know, because that's such a powerful song.
It is. And it mm-hmm. builds. That would be hard to do separate pieces of that one.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Wow. And
yeah. It definitely builds. It starts off, you know, really just, you know, it's emotional, but you're a lot more calm and you're trying to just, you know, make it very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end, you're like screaming.
Yeah, when you get to the O Night Divine part,
yeah.
that's every it's all or nothing at that point.
Yes.
That's yeah. pretty amazing. I love the fact that, you know, kind of we get the behind the scenes of how things are actually recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess every artist is different.
Yeah.
I always just kind of had this picture in my head of front to back every time.
No, I mean, it's like, you know, if you were making a movie, you wouldn't just be able to say, okay, we're going to make the movie. Everybody get ready and you're going to say all the lines and we're just going to film the whole movie,
yeah.
you know, top to bottom. It's the same way. I mean, yeah. you definitely want to get your best vocals. Now, I do not let my vocals be tuned or anything like that.
Wow.
Because I just am too, like, prideful about that. And I don't want anyone to ever say, you know, she's not a great singer, not a great live singer, because that's my... I don't know. That's the thing that I pride myself the most on out of anything that I do is to that I'm actually, you know,
that's the way you sound.
Singer. Yes.
You know, that's a huge deal actually, because there are a lot of times when people go to concerts
mm-hmm.
and this has actually happened. I've experienced this as well. You go to a show and you're expecting it to sound exactly like it does on the radio or the CD or
oh, yeah,
the streaming
or
the whatever.
They can't sing anything.
And it is not
yeah.
the same. And you feel kind of like,
It's like Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You meet somebody and, you know, they look a lot different than they do in their pictures. But, you know, everybody does what is called comping vocals. And I've been doing that for years. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, you sing the verses. Like, I like to do all my verses just over and over and over and over and over. Because the choruses are a lot louder and they're kind of in a different place in mm-hmm. your throat. And then comping vocals just means you kind of splice together your favorite lines. Mm-hmm. You choose your best, like, this is the best verse. Let's choose that one.
But it's all you.
There's
not any.
No
wow.
fixing.
That no speaks fixing. To the kind of performer you are. Well, not only because you won't do the auto-tune, but you're just that good.
Well, thank
that's
you.
Impressive.
I mean, that's why I like to post like portions of our shows sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, where it's live. And I agree with you. I love going to concerts where they're actually incredible. And mm-hmm. you're like, you know, I'm so glad that they're the real deal.
Yeah. As far as the other things you guys have going on, I know that you have a, like I said, you've got the Christmas tour coming up. You had the album Words last mm-hmm. year that was out. There is a song, All the Love You Left Me.
Oh,
love this song.
It
really kind of gets into the, it gets under your skin, under the skin of a breakup, I guess,
yes.
is the best way to put that. Where did it come from? Who wrote it? Tell me all about it.
Okay, so my manager, Craig Dunn, who's with me in the studio right now, and he went out to a writer's night, and we were in the process of looking for songs for the new album, and he heard a bunch of female writers. It was like an all-girls writer's night, and so Hillary Lindsay, who is just absolutely phenomenal, and she has written so many hit songs. I've recorded probably 20 of her songs, and I've written with her a ton. Performed the song, All the Love You Left Me. And when Craig Dunn got home or the next day, he got a hold of her publisher and said, I got to get that song for Sarah. And he sent it to me, and I just died. But to me, I made it because I like to try to think of the saddest, worst possible scenario that a song could be talking about. And so I was listening to the demo over and over and over and over and over, just loving the song. And I said to my husband, I'm like, oh my God, this is my friend Lynn, who lost her son to cancer. And he was my son's age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we live in a very like tight-knit, small community on the outskirts of Birmingham. And it just rocked our world. It rocked our community. Like, one day he's fine. The next day he's got a pain in his leg. The next day they've diagnosed him with bone cancer. And within a year, he's dead. And so it just devastated all of us. So I was like, this song is about her. And thinking of her son.
Wow.
I know.
When you think about it in that light.
Oh, my gosh. Because when it says, like, the bridge part is like she's panicking, you know, like I turn the lights off. I can't do anything to stop freaking out mm-hmm. that you're gone. Because I don't know if you're a mom, but
yes,
any mom or dad understands that's unfathomable.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even consider that. Wow. In your brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when it does actually happen to people, you're just like, well, how are you going to live the rest of your life?
Whoa.
So that's how that was my take on All the Love You Left Me.
See, that's an entirely different perspective. When I heard it, I was like, wow, this is a really painful breakup song. But mm-hmm. when you cast it in the light of a parent losing a child, mm-hmm. it kind of turns it in a different angle. It works the same way, but boy, the impact of that just,
it's
I can't
so
imagine.
Sad. I like to, you know, I like to go as dark as I possibly can because it helps me perform mm-hmm. with more emotion, a lot more emotion. And that's why I posted the other day this. I'm so like obsessed with Ryan Adams and his cover album of Taylor Swift's 1989. So he covered that album from top to bottom mm-hmm. and it's phenomenal, like literally phenomenal. And I think when you hear Taylor sing, you know, Shake It Off or Bad Blood or all the songs that were hits from that album, there's so much more production and, like, you know, really, really youthful production, so you miss the lyrics a lot. But the lyrics are actually phenomenal. So there's a song on there called This Love, and Ryan, you know, plays piano on it, and his version of it and his production on this album is absolutely phenomenal. And so, again, I was just listening to the album, that song came on, and it hit me that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, you know, what if, like, my friend was, like, dreaming about her son and that he was alive still. So when you go and listen to that song after this interview, you will sob thinking of it in that way.
Okay, now I've got to go, I got to go listen to the song.
Yes, and I posted about it. I'm like, the song is just killing me today.
You have been, you mentioned you posted about this. You're pretty, what you see is what you kind of, what you get kind of gal. I mean, that struck me the last time we talked. And has ever since. Every time I see an interview with you or posting or anything, I'm like, yep, that's who that is. Do you hear that a lot?
Yes. I mean, I grew up on a farm in central Missouri. I'm one of seven kids. I'm the most normal person, you know, as normal as you can be, like, but at the same time still being a celebrity and being, you know, that people know you. But yeah, I always want to be very, very authentic. Like, I really, just like my vocals, you know, and not tuning them and fixing them. Authenticity is very important to me.
What is the difference between now? Because there's been a lot, there's been quite a bit of ground covered from the time that you started your career in country music and first came on the scene and people found out who Sarah Evans was, up to now. Do you sing songs that you cover, that you did back then that were huge hits for you and people still love to sing along with? Do they mean different things now at this age than they did at the age when you recorded them?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like I still love all those songs, and that's why it's so important to me to be authentic and stay authentic to who I really am, because you know, that it sort of makes my songs timeless in my soul, because it's like, no, I still relate to that. I still, because I'm still the same person. I mean, with a lot of changes, and I've gone through, a lot of drama in my life and some trauma as well. And but no, I still feel very connected to those. You know, maybe Born to Fly means something a little different to me now because my son is, you know, he just graduated high school and he moved to Nashville, and now he's kind of his turn to do this crazy thing called a music career. But at the same time, I still, when I sing Born to Fly, I'm still thinking about, you know, the fact that I did move to Nashville at 19 and pursue a career in country music. And that's what I was born to do. So I guess the answer is no. I still feel very connected to all of those songs.
If you weren't a country music singer, what would you be?
So I love to cook. I love the idea of owning, like, a little restaurant, like a meet and three, you know, old kind of country restaurant. I love that. Or I might do some sort of, like, catering business. I love feeding people. That's my love language. And, you know, I just cannot not make food for my kids and my husband and, you know, nourish them in that way. Or I would probably be a farmer. Like, I would be, you know, on a lot of land with a lot of horses and be living a simple life.
You mentioned you live outside Birmingham, not Nashville, but Birmingham. And I know y'all are big Bama fans.
So I moved to Birmingham when Jay and I got married because, you know, I loved him and I wanted to make it to where we could be together, but he could still live in the same city as his children. And I, you know, didn't want to take him away from them. My dad moved away when I was young to another state. And it's just, you know, when you do that, it's just not, you think you have all the best intentions, but but it's not really conducive to having a true parent-child relationship because you have to be there mm-hmm. all the time at all their games and all their events and make sure that all your, you know, visitation time and all that is always upheld. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for Jay, you know, out of love for him. And I knew that I could do my career from anywhere. And but his kids have two more years, counting this one, in school. And then my girls are into music. And so we're probably headed back to Nashville in, within the next couple of years. But yeah, we've been down there for 10 years. And we live in an area called Mountain Brook. And it's beautiful. And it's been idyllic for raising my kids.
You mentioned, and I know family is a huge deal for you, which I think it's amazing to hear your stories of family. And you're, like I said, you just kind of put things out there. When you mentioned your son just went to college.
He didn't go to college.
Or, I'm sorry, moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
Well, that's a college of its own, really, if you're trying to get into the music
business. Absolutely. He doesn't need college. College would be a total waste of
but
time for him
moved,
and money.
Moved out,
yeah.
So to speak. What kind of, how was that for you as a mom, and what kind of advice did you give him?
Oh, it is literally devastated my heart. Literally. Especially Avery, because he's the first. He's my only son. He and I were just inseparable when he was born, and I didn't have Olivia till he was 3 and a half. So he went everywhere with me. Mm-hmm. He was literally, I was like a kangaroo and he was like in my pouch and everywhere I went on tour, and he would have been here right now mm-hmm. in this studio with us doing this interview. I absolutely adore that child. And he's just like me. He's literally a carbon copy of me. The way he thinks, his musical talents, he's actually better than me. He's more talented than I am. And so it's been devastating, and I have, like, all of my best friends in Mountain Brook. It's weird. We all have kids the same age. We have kids Avery's age and then kids Olivia's age. So we all went through this together, this first child leaving home thing. So it's hard. Do you have grown children?
I have a one that's soon to be 20, one soon to be 18.
Okay, so you've been there.
So I'm there with you, and yeah, it's
awful.
I've often heard the little saying where, you know, when you have a child and you give birth and then they start to move around the world, that it's like tearing out a piece of your heart and watching it walk away from you. And that's, I'm continually reminded of that.
Yeah,
as a mom. That's you know, they got to go do it,
right?
You know, but it's a whole roots
and
wings
thing. Like when I was 19, I mean, I was gone. I moved to Nashville by myself. I had to get a job waiting tables. I had to support myself and find an apartment. I did not have parents like me. I mean, and so I'm like an incredibly doting mother, and part of the reward for my success is helping him, you mm-hmm. know, get started. And he's very, very much against that. He doesn't want me. He wants to do it all on his own.
He wants to do it on his own, yeah.
But he is playing guitar in my band right now, so that's great. And so at least I'm not seeing him. Like, I'm on the road with him, and but he rides over on the band bus. I mean, he wants to be treated like everybody else.
Wow.
No special treatment. He doesn't even really want to get paid for playing in my band because he feels like he needs to somehow pay his dues. And I get that. When you grow up wealthy, mm-hmm. you feel like, you know, what can I do to pay my dues? Like, mm-hmm. I need, you know, he doesn't have that story like I do. I grew up poor on a farm in Missouri, and I made it all the way to top of the game, you know, in country music. And so he's trying to, you know, make sure that he is legit. He is very big into being authentic to himself as well. And then my daughter Olivia is a singer. She's 15, and, you know, she's probably about to start online school so that we can start her career. And then my daughter Audrey is 13, and mm-hmm. she's the joy of our whole family. She's literally beautiful, hilarious, and she keeps us laughing at all times. She's a cheerleader and a dancer, and She's that girl.
Sarah Evans, please come back.
I would love to.
This is always so much fun, and I really appreciate you giving me a few minutes today.
You too. Thank you.
I'm Tanya J. Powers. We've been spending a few moments with Sarah Evans. This is Fox News Radio.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to Fox News Podcast shows ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or follow wherever you get your podcasts.